Well, people of God, would you please turn with me in your copy of God's Word to Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, I'm going to read from verse 6 through verse 11. If you're using the black pew Bible there in front of you or underneath you, if you're in the front or back rows, you can find our text on page 531, 531, 531. Proverbs 6, verses 6 through 11. We'll also have it on the screen here. So, as is our custom here, I want to invite you, if you're able, to stand for the reading of God's Word. At home, too, invite you to stand with us. A reminder, you're not alone, even though you can't be with us here physically. Proverbs chapter 6, page 531, beginning at verse 6. This is the word of the Lord. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer, gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and give thanks to him now for it. Indeed, Father, we give thanks to you for your word and that you're pleased to speak to us through it. And so, by your Spirit, we ask that you would open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to understand. Cause us here in your word to know you more, that we might love you better, and so we might love others like you have loved us. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? One of the pastors that I like to listen to is a man named Jeff Mannion. He's a pastor of Ada Bible Church in Ada, Michigan, just outside of Grand Rapids. Several years ago, he did a series on the Proverbs, this book in the middle of our Bibles, and he had a message on this particular text, a message in which he talks about ant power. Ant power. I'm going to use that phrase from him throughout today's message. This ant power is this phrase that he uses to refer to the power of everyday faithfulness to bring about transformation in our lives, in our communities, and in our world. And you see that in the text, right? The writer of the proverb says, consider the ant. Every day does the same thing. The ant gets up, the ant goes to work, the ant goes to bed. The next day, the ant gets up, goes to work, the ant goes to bed. The next day, up, work, bed, over and over and over. And the point here is that the power of impact, the power of transformation actually comes through our everyday faithfulness. You see, the opposite's true in our text. Consider the sluggard. Ruin comes upon us in the exact same way. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. And poverty comes on you like a robber. Right? Just let me rest for just a little while. Right? I'm just gonna scroll for just a few minutes here. I'm just gonna take this one shortcut on this one project, just this one time. The point here of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11 is that our habits have this profound power to shape us, to shape our hearts, to shape our lives, to shape our world. It's the power of everyday faithfulness. And what I want to do this morning is to look at how our everyday habits determine and shape the health of all of our relationships, especially our marriages. So as I mentioned, we're in the third week of the short four-week series on relationships in general, but on marriage in particular, called Loving Like Jesus. First week, we talked about our hearts being filled with Jesus' love for us, with God's love for us through Jesus. When our hearts are filled with Jesus' love, we stop using the people around us to fill up those empty places, and it actually sets us free to really love the people around us. The second week, as Mary alluded to last week, we talked about this principle of loving like Jesus. When our hearts are full of God's love for us in Jesus, we begin to love others like he has loved us, and that means you before me. Consider others more significant than yourselves. Consider your spouse more significant than you. Today, we're going to see the power of our everyday habits, power of our habits to either shape our hearts toward one another or turn our hearts away from each other. Today, the power of our everyday habits, our habits have the power to either cultivate or kill our relationships, especially our marriages. And the order here is really important. We have to have these 3 weeks together, right? That emptiness in our hearts when we keep looking to the people around us to fill us up, to use you to make me feel pretty, use you to make me feel respected or loved. Instead, when God, through Christ, fills up our hearts through his life, death, and resurrection, lets us know the Father's love for us, it releases us from using the people around us and sets us free to actually love the people around us. All these things that Mary said about dying to yourself, about considering others more significant than yourself, you can't do it if your heart's not full of God's love for you in Jesus. And second, as our hearts are filled with that love, we begin to love like that, considering others more significant than ourselves. So what does this look like? What does you before me look like? How do we grow that love? That's what I want to focus on today as we look at heart-shaping habits. And before we do, I want to take just a moment to note this ordinary everyday faithfulness in general. Because some of the stories that we tell, maybe most of the stories we tell in our culture and even in our church, lead us to believe that the spectacular is the goal. Right? The extraordinary somehow in our hearts and minds is the ordinary, the normal, right? Our goal in life is maybe I might find the cure to cancer. Maybe I'm going to be the one to hit that last second shot to win the championship. Maybe I'm going to make that groundbreaking discovery. These are the things we dream about. We teach our kids to dream about. These are our goals. And one of the things that happen when we shape ourselves around these goals is we start to look down on the ordinary and the familiar. We look down on that slow steadiness of day after day, year after year, just showing up and being faithful. Even in the church we do this. We dream of being Moses or of David or of the Apostle Paul. As you read through the Bible, these aren't actually the norm. Now, sure, Moses goes up on the mountain, but most of the people were at the foot of the mountain practicing the everyday. Yes, David kills the giant and brings Israel peace and centralizes worship and the government of Israel. Most of Israel simply lives out the steady faithfulness day after day, year after year. We do this especially with the Apostle Paul. We make the Apostle Paul's conversion the standard of following Jesus' stories, right? Having a Damascus Road experience, a radical conversion story. That's actually not the normal way that God works. It's not the ordinary way that God works in people's lives, bringing him to himself. The typical way, the normal way, the ordinary way is the steady faithfulness of God's people following Jesus and passing their faith on to the next generation. It's countercultural, right? Ordinary lives, faithful lives, but it's biblical. The Apostle Paul tells Timothy to pray for our governing leaders. Why? So we might live peaceful, quiet lives. That's what the Apostle Paul says. That's ant power. It's everyday faithfulness. It's showing up consistently. It's the power of our everyday habits to shape our hearts, our lives, our world, and our relationships. It's ant power. And that's how our relationships grow. Not through mountaintop experiences. Of course, God can use those, right? God can use these big events in your marriages and relationships, but that's not the usual way that God grows our marriage. Rather, it's through everyday faithfulness, the everyday heart-shaping prayer. This is how God grows our relationship with him. Not usually through mountaintops, but through everyday practice of prayer. Everyday practice of reading, meditating, studying our Bibles. Every day and every week coming to corporate worship, practicing our faithfulness. That's how our relationship with Jesus grows. It's how our relationship with one another grows. And so this morning, I want to take just a few minutes to talk about some of the habits that we can have that shape our hearts, habits that cultivate our relationships, especially our marriages. And again, as I said every week, I want to keep saying, if you're not married here this morning, nearly everything, today there'll be a little section, maybe it doesn't apply to all of our relationships, but nearly everything else applies to all of our relationships. Brother and sister, moms and dads, friends, roommates, co-workers, co-leaders in VBS, everything nearly everything impacts all of our relationships. So let's look at our heart-shaping habits that cultivate our relationships by looking at habits in these three areas. I want to look at our habits in our thoughts, habits in our words, habits in our deeds. Our thoughts, words, and deeds as we look at heart-shaping habits. I want to start with our thoughts this morning. Some of you are familiar with John Gottman. He's an American psychologist, perhaps most famous for his ability to predict divorce in a relationship. And he says largely it comes down to one thing. If I meet with a couple, one factor can indicate to me the likelihood of them being divorced, and it's simply this. It's contempt. It's contempt. He says if I can see contempt in either partner for the other, this scorn, this disdain, this looking down on the other, if I can see contempt in either partner for the other, it's nearly a sure sign of the inevitable death of that relationship. But here's the thing, friends. Contempt doesn't just magically appear one day. It doesn't just show up overnight. Contempt is the product of cultivation, right? It's the product of nursing. It's grown, contempt is. It's the fruit of everyday habits. The future of your marriage, the future of your relationships is a product of your everyday thoughts about that person. The future of your marriage, the future of your relationships is a product of your everyday thoughts about that person. So when your spouse or your friend does that annoying thing that they do, we all do annoying things, all of us, and when they do that annoying thing, what's your inner dialogue like? Can't believe he did that again. How could she be so dumb? I wish he'd just stop talking. And right here, friends, this is the battleground for your marriage. This is the battleground for your marriage. It's what's happening in your thoughts right there toward your person. You have to grab a hold of them, and you have to put them to death. Grab them, stop them, end them. One of the things to do, sometimes embarrassing for me, for it's helpful, I actually have to say out loud, nope. And people have walked in on me doing that. I'm battling my thought, like, stop. I need that outside thing, like, I love her. She's just quirky, and I'm quirky. No, he's precious to me, and I do actually care about what he has to say. Your thoughts are the battleground for your marriage. Here's a couple passages. We're not going to turn to them, just encourage you to write them down, because I'm going to encourage you later to memorize scripture is one of the ways to do this. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. This is the Apostle Paul talking about how we cultivate relationships in the church, right? If you were with us 2 weeks ago, we talked about Ephesians 3. We've become one. You're in Jesus. I'm in Jesus. That means I'm in you and you're in me. We're one. What does this look like? Ephesians 4:31. You got to battle for your relationships in your mind. You got to guard your thoughts. Your thoughts about your spouse, about your sister, your brother, your friend, your thoughts are always either shaping your heart toward your spouse or turning your heart away from your spouse. Cultivate thoughts that shape your heart toward him, toward her. Prune away thoughts that turn your heart away from him, away from her. How do you think about your wife? How do you think about your husband? What are your thoughts about your friends, especially when they annoy you, and the people around you? You're either tuning your heart toward contempt or toward love for each other. Your everyday thoughts, they either shape your hearts toward them or away from them. Another text here, Philippians 4:8. When I was growing up, this is what my mother used to say to me. She would say, Chris, you have to Philippians 4:8 your thoughts. Philippians 4:8 it. Whatever is true, honorable, just, whatever is pure, lovely, commendable. If there's any excellence, anything worthy of praise, the Apostle Paul says, think about those things. Again, the Apostle Paul here is telling us, cultivate habits that shape your heart toward the people around you. Prune away the habits of thought that turn your heart away from them. The battleground for your marriage begins in your thoughts. Here are a couple maybe really practical ways to do that. And you heard this from Mary, one of the last things she said. Practice daily thankfulness for your spouse. And not generally, right? God, I thank you for Yone. I mean, that's fine. You can do that too. But be specific. Right? My prayer card for my wife begins like this. Thank you, God, for Yone, that she, dot, 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 so that every day I fill in that blank. Thank you, God, for the way she laughs. Thank you, God, for her coming to sit next to me on the couch earlier when I was frustrated. Thank you, God, for how hard she works. Thank you, God, for her driving the kids all over town today. Right? Keep a journal. Make it part of your regular rhythms. As I told you, my prayer card there. Every day, thank God for something specific for your spouse. It's a heart-shaping habit that trains your heart toward your spouse. Second thing, we talked about this, when a negative thought comes to your mind about your spouse, your sister, your brother, your friend, replace it with a positive one. Again, Mary said this exactly. You grab a hold of that thought and said, no, instead, thank you that she, thank you that he. You replace it with Scripture. Memorize Scripture. Is this lovely? Is this praiseworthy? Is this excellent? Is this commendable? Your daily thoughts are the battlefield for your marriage. And for all your relationships, employ this ant power, everyday faithfulness, to cultivate rather than kill your marriages and your relationships through your everyday thoughts. Second area this morning, let's look at our words. Text here, again, write it down. You can look at it later. James chapter 3, New Testament book, James chapter 3. In that New Testament book called James, James compares the tongue. He gives a number of images. He compares the tongue to a bridle and a bit that's put in a horse's mouth used to control it. He then compares the tongue to the rudder of a ship, this small thing that directs the course of giant ships. He compares the tongue to a spark that starts a massive forest fire. His point is that our tongues have the power to guide our whole selves and our whole lives. But then James moves on and says, sadly, we use our tongues to kill and to destroy rather to build up and give life. He writes this, James chapter 3, with the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not be so. Your words have the power to either cultivate or kill any relationship that you're in. And actually, some of this here is really, really simple. Just be nice to each other. Say nice things. I actually learned this from Bruce and Colleen, right? Say please and thank you. Small thing in our marriages, but something we take for granted. Every day, tell your husbands and wives that you love them. I mean, this is really simple. Say nice things. Express appreciation. You look nice today. You did a great job with that today. I'm thankful for you and for the way that you fill in the blank. Don't just say it to God when you thank God for your spouse or your friends or your relationship. Say it to them too. And listen, friends, this comes straight out of counseling couples that have been struggling in their marriages. We sometimes are just not very nice to each other. It's a small thing that pays powerful, profound dividends. Every day, say something nice to your spouse. Every day, say something nice to your friend, to your parents, your sibling. That's ant power. Looking for everyday ways to say something nice, say something encouraging, say something appreciative to your spouse and to the people around you. And be mindful of your tone, right? Please and thank you. It's a really small thing, but it's an everyday habit. And I know this seems basic, it seems small. That's the point of this text in Proverbs. It's the picture of the ant. Every day, the ant gets up, the ant goes out, the ant gathers a leaf. The next day, the ant gets up, the ant goes out, the ant gathers a leaf. The next day, the ant gets up, the ant goes out, the ant gathers another leaf. And when winter comes, there's a storehouse and food enough for all. Not so the sluggard. Yeah, I'll just take a little break. Maybe tomorrow we can work at that. You know, I don't feel like it today. I'll say something nice tomorrow. I'll try being polite tomorrow. Pretty soon, the picture of the sluggard, time's up, winter's here, there's nothing to eat. There's no relationship left. This is a picture of our marriages. A kind word today, a kind word tomorrow, a kind word the day after that, a kind word the day after that, a kind word the day after that, and 50 years later, you have a marriage that's strong and intact. Our words have the power to either cultivate or kill our relationships. And power means using your everyday thoughts and your everyday words to build up the people around you. Express your love, your affection, your appreciation every day, day after day, week after week. Just like with our thoughts. That one thought, that one word, it doesn't seem like very much today. Like how much is me saying please this one time really have any impact? It's not this one time. It's years of compounding that together. The words pile up, the thoughts pile up. They have the power to either cultivate or kill your relationships. One more habit area today. We've looked at thoughts, we've looked at our words. Let's look at our deeds. This is the culmination of our text in Proverbs, the power of the ant, the power of everyday faithfulness. You see, like, ordinarily, it's not the big things that make or even destroy a marriage. In fact, I'm convinced that if you employ ant power in your marriages, daily thoughts, daily words, daily deeds, that when the big crises come, even the big painful, hard things, the personal things, you've built a marriage that can weather any crisis. But it comes from every day, week after week, year after year, of building up. Ordinarily, it's not a seminar, a vacation, a surprise gift that makes or kills a friendship or a marriage. It's these everyday things, everyday habits, everyday touching affectionately, everyday finding ways to connect, to spend time together, everyday cultivating your life toward one another instead of away from each other. Your daily, weekly, yearly habits are the essential means of cultivating your marriage and your relationships. I want to just share a few of Yone's and my habits. And yours are going to look different, just sharing mine, so you have some pictures of what this looks like. Every day, Yone and I don't leave the house without kissing each other. I'm going to leave, I go and find her, give her a kiss, she's going to leave, she goes and finds me, gives a kiss. And here's the thing, sometimes it's perfunctory. Sometimes it's just, oh my goodness, I forgot to kiss her, I have to go back in and give her a kiss just so I can leave. And it's not affectionate. It's not with feeling. It's not with passion. Sometimes I'm mad. But we made a commitment that I'm not going to leave unless we kiss each other. It's the power of that habit. Actually, when I'm angry, that begins to soften my heart toward her because we've committed to do this every day. We don't leave without kissing each other. When we pray for our meals, we always kiss after our prayer. We tell each other, I love you, several times a day. These are just daily habits that we've employed to build our marriage. Weekly habits. We schedule a date time twice a week. We have lunch together. We pray together. We go on a walk together. It's time for us to talk, to check in, to connect relationally and emotionally twice a week, almost every week. Just time to be together. Yearly, we take at least one 24-hour day, just the two of us. We go out for dinner, we go for a walk, we stay in a hotel. It's just us. It's just time for us to connect together. Now with both of our kids going to summer camp together, we get to do that twice a year. Once at Christmas, my parents watch the girls. And then usually when the girls are at Honey Rock, this will happen actually in a couple weeks, Yone and I take a backpacking trip, just the two of us. It's just time for us to invest in each other, in our relationship. Daily, weekly, yearly habits to cultivate our hearts toward each other. It's essential. It's necessary for your marriage. Physical intimacy, too. It's a key part of your marriage. Even when you don't feel like it, touching each other intimately, it's part of cultivating the two becoming one flesh. Now, hopefully obvious, this part's not about all relationships, just about marriage. We'll make sure that's really clear. And some of you are going to hate this part. And so just brace yourself. I think you should schedule it. I know it's not romantic. This isn't Disney or Hollywood and their view of sex. But I think it's important enough in your marriage to keep a regular appointment to connect physically. That doesn't mean you can't have spontaneous times too, but if you keep it on your schedule, it provides this regular, physical, emotional connecting point. And again, even when you're fighting, if you're committed to this heart-shaping habit as a priority and you're in the middle of a fight and that appointment calendar comes up, that's really difficult. That's really challenging. But if you're committed to it, and these are conversations Yona and I have, we're committed to this, we have to reconcile. And it builds us and cultivates our hearts to each other. Our everyday habits, our thoughts, our words, our deeds are essential to our relationships and especially to our marriages. When your heart is full of God's love for you and Jesus, when that love begins to flow out of you into your other relationships so you can live you before me, that happens through our everyday heart-shaping habits, this ant power of everyday faithfulness, everyday habits. Your everyday habits have the power to either cultivate or kill your relationships, especially your marriage. Invest in your everyday thoughts. Invest in your everyday words. Invest in your everyday actions to build and strengthen your relationships. Will you pray with me? So Father, as we come out of this text, as we prepare for the table, as I'm thinking about this introductory class I'm about to lead during our discipleship hour on the Ten Commandments, I'm mindful in my own heart of all the ways I break all of your commandments. These heart-shaping habits that I have that turn my heart away from you, away from my wife, away from my kids, away from my friends, away from your people. Would you help me, as the Apostle Paul challenges us, to put more and more off the old self and put on Christ, to live out his faithfulness, his righteousness in my everyday thoughts, in my everyday words, my everyday actions. And Father, we can't do this. We can't just make in ourselves to do better. We need the power of Jesus that you give to us through this table. So Holy Spirit, would you meet us here? Would you feed us here? Would you strengthen us that we might have this everyday and power of faithfulness towards you, toward our spouse and our families, toward your church. For we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.